We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
First of all, before we share today, I want to thank Pastor Stephen and Cynthia for allowing us to share while they're away. How many of you know our pastors need some time away? I'm not going to tell you where they are, but the sand is white and the beach is warm, and they're going to be there for an entire week, and they deserve every bit of it. Can we just pray right now for Pastor? Can you imagine being 42, 43 years old, pastoring your first church, kind of moving? You've moved all the furniture two or three times already. If there's anybody on this earth that needs a rest, it would be our pastor and his wife. Would you agree? Let's pray right now for him and his bride. Lord Jesus, we pray for Pastor Stephen and Cynthia and the three children, Lord God, the four children, Lord, that you would bless them on a beach. Lord, give them a tan, but not too dark. Don't make them red, Lord God. Give them some nice, cool water, but Lord, keep the sharks and the things that are dangerous in the water out. Give them romantic time over dinner. Give them good time on roller coasters or whatever other crazy things they do. Most of all, Lord God, give them your favor. Bless their finances. Multiply them, Lord, so they can do all the things they want to do and need to do, and bring them back to us next week, rested, full of the Holy Spirit, and ready to serve you some more. Thank you for their faithfulness in leaving their California home to come and bless us for these past 2+ years. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Pastor Stephen asked me if I would preach about 3 weeks ago. And I definitely said yes, any opportunity. But I was thinking, when I invite somebody over my house, how many of you are glad you don't have to eat my cooking? Trust me, you are. It would be TV dinners or MREs or whatever, but it would not be a good meal. But to make out your welcome in my house, my bride does the cooking and the decorating. And I asked Pastor Stephen, hey, if we want a really good mess today, can I allow my bride and I to both of us share? Now, some of you think two means it's going to be twice as long. It's not. But I want the Holy Spirit to fall on this place. Amen. Do you want the same thing? That's what I want. I want him to speak to me. In a few minutes, we're going to open in prayer. But let me tell you the title of today's message. And then Anna's going to pray and then read the word to us. And then after she does that, we're going to go back and forth a little bit and speak to you. The title of today's sermon is Life is Not Fair. I want you to examine your heart. And some of you would say in your hearts, when I get to heaven, I got a question I'm going to ask Jesus. On this moment, during this event, it doesn't make sense. And if life is fair, how could this thing have taken place? How many of you have ever asked that question? Ever asked it before? Lift up your hands, because whoever's not lifting their hand gets to preach today, because you know more about this than I do. Can I tell you, as a chaplain, many folks have asked, Chappie, how can there possibly be a God? There's one woman who was a Christian. She had cancer. And another woman who came to the church for the very first time. The woman who had cancer, who was elderly, suffered for 10 years. But the woman who just came to church for the very first time, didn't even know Jesus, got healed on the spot without any pain whatsoever. Can anybody explain that? I can't explain it. My chaplain assistant at my first base when I was a lieutenant, he said this. He says, I'm a chaplain assistant, but I'm an atheist. I said, well, now, wait a minute. Why are you an atheist? He said, Chappie, when I was 19 years old, I was dating this woman, my fiance. We were in a car accident, and she was decapitated in it. I watched the whole thing. How can there possibly be a God that's loving and caring if he took my wife, or my soon-to-be wife, in such a horrible way? There is no God. Life is not fair, some would say. I would like you, in the next 30 seconds, to think about a situation in your life that just seems to be not fair. However, you know, I'm not going to leave you with it's not fair. There's the rest of the story. It just seems that it's unfair. Everybody heard that? It just seems that it's unfair. In a couple seconds, I'm going to have you stand, and I want you to think. Some of you may have 10 situations. Just share one, please. Some of you would say, I have one, but it's very personal. You may say that it's very personal. Would you stand right now? And I want you, don't share it with your spouse. Stand, please. Stand. Go find somebody and just share this one thing. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, how come I am not as good looking as John. I just want to know that. I mean, at least as good looking as John. Hey, go share one story one time. Go share. Go move around. You got 30 seconds. Stand. If you can't stand, stay seated and somebody's going to come to you. What's that one thing you're going to ask God about? Life's not fair. What's the one question? What's the one? It just doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't seem fair. When you heard a story and shared a story, you may be seated. It just doesn't seem fair. How can life possibly be fair if this happened? How is it possible? You may be seated as soon as you've heard and shared. How can life be fair? How is it possible? It was 19, a long time ago. I had been married 7 years. We had a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, and God spoke to our hearts as youth pastors to go to Life Bible College. We lived in 29 Palms, which is like Palm Springs, California. Life Bible College was 120 miles away. And we said to the Lord in March of 1984, here we are, Lord, send us. We're in an 1,100-square-foot home. We're comfortable. We're enjoying being youth pastor for Rick and Debbie Gilmore. Life was wonderful. And we said, if we say yes to God, if you think it's wonderful now, it's going to be like way awesome if you say yes to the Lord. So we said yes to the Lord. And on June the 1st, 1984, we left Palm Springs, where we found ourselves homeless, jobless, and wondering what in the world's going on. We lived with Pastor Rick and Debbie in a 1-bedroom house, the 4 of us, for about 2 or 3 months. Then we moved up from there to someone's basement. We found out within a week or two of being homeless and jobless that Anna was pregnant with Bethany. Now, why would she get pregnant at such a very weird time? I don't know what was in the woman's mind. What was she thinking? So now we are pregnant, homeless, and jobless. I find myself flipping burgers at McDonald's, starting my first semester of Life Bible College. Finally, we moved into a large 750 square feet home for the 3.5 of us as we're moving in. And I'm saying, Lord, you're a good, good father. Where's the good? Here we are trying to obey you, and all this difficulty is taking place. If you know what I'm talking about, a servant of the Lord can be, life just seems hard sometimes. Lift up your hand, just let me know. Sometimes it gets hard. It just gets hard. Now, that's 1984. Looking back on it, I see how good he was. If God would have told us in March 1984, listen, I'm going to ask you to leave. You're going to go and be homeless, jobless, and pregnant in just 3 months. Now I want you to go ahead and do it. How many of you know I would have said, uh-uh, not me. Call John to do that, but I'm not doing that. Call Ron to do that, but I'm not doing that. Speak to him. I ain't about to leave my family in that situation. But God in his infinite wisdom didn't tell me everything. How are you glad he just doesn't tell you everything? You don't need to know everything. There's some difficult things that you're going through right now. You're saying, why, Lord? Why me, Lord? And God says, why not you? I love you too much to not allow you to go through some of the things you're going to. Life seems so unfair. Today, we're going to talk about some things, and we want to challenge you with how good really is our God. Anna, would you read our text for us and open us in prayer?
Sure. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16.
Would you stand as we read the word?
If you can stand. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others and asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Verse 9. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last as I gave. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just trust that you will teach each and every one of us this morning what you want us to individually learn. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us in right living. In thy name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Would you go to the next slide, please, brother? Would you say it with me? It's just not fair. Next slide, please. Would you say it's just not fair?
It's just not fair.
Next slide, please. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
One last time. Can you tell me, is this right? Is this even fair? I mean, what? That's just like not right. And some of us feel exactly like that. The fish had nothing to do with this choice. But sometimes life seems just not fair. I want to, before telling this story, Jesus backs up to Matthew chapter 19. And let me tell you what he said just before telling this parable. A rich young ruler drove up in a Ferrari to Jesus, and he had his Pierre Cardin suit on, and he was looking pretty snazzy. And he went up to Jesus and he says, "Hey, Jesus, what good thing must I do?" It says 19:16. "What must I do? What good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus looked at him and said, "Go sell your possessions, give it to the poor, then follow me." In chapter 19:22, just a few verses later, says the rich young ruler went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, Peter listened to this story, it says, in 19:27. And Peter said, "Hold your horses. This young ruler is a rich guy. You asked him to sell everything and follow you. Hey, Jesus, before you, I had a boat. I had a fishing rod. I had some nets. I've left everything. It's just not fair. What's in it for me?" How many of you are feeling Peter out? It's like, I can feel what you're saying. It's just not fair. You told him to do it. We've already done that. What's in it for me? Jesus says this in chapter 19, 28. I tell you the truth, which Jesus is saying, get this young fella. Verse 29, everyone who has left houses, brothers, sister, father, mother, children, fields for my sake will receive 100 times much more and eternal life. For see, in my kingdom, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Let me tell you this parable. Do you see the setup here? What Jesus is saying is, what seems fair on this earth, it just seems unfair. Let me tell you a little bit about what the kingdom of heaven is just like. Please hear this. Before he tells his story, there's a vineyard owner. Who's the vineyard owner representing? God or Jesus. In the vineyard, I'm going to switch mics. Is that okay with you guys? Good. 1, 2, 3, am I good? 1, 2, 3, am I good? All right. So in this vineyard, hey, every September, the end of September, all the grapes are ready. They're ready to be harvested. And the owner knows that if he doesn't get those things harvested quickly, the grapes are going to go completely sour. They'll rot immediately. So he knew that there were day workers. Every single day, they would take their tools down to the center of the marketplace, and they would have their tools, realizing that they needed to find work to feed their family. If you had a choice to be a day worker or a slave, sometimes was better than being a day worker. Why? A slave worked for a rich person who pretty much was going to feed them every single day. They had really no worries. I'm not saying it was great to be a slave. I'm just saying a day worker was harder. Because if you didn't get a day's work, your family would starve. There would be no milk. There would be no bread. These day workers would go down to the marketplace every day at 6 a.m., and they would be ready to go to work every single day to support their families. Those day workers usually worked for 1 denarius, which is 1 day's work. I don't know what an average person makes an hour. It could be $10 or $20. If you don't mind, let me just say it's $20 an hour. Each worker would find great joy to go home to their wives and say, honey, I work 12 hours a day times $20 an hour. Here's $240 that I have today. And by the way, because it's a Jewish day, the day began at 6 p.m. It was a brand new day. They now had milk and bread and the start of a great new day. It would be honorable to be a day worker and find work. Now to our parable. Are you with me? You're in verse 1. And it says this, by the way. You have a little sermon outline. Would you say this with me? God is fair is point number one. Say God is fair. Point number two, God is always right. Say God is always right. Say it and listen to what you're saying. God is always right. And the final point, let God be God. Let God be God. Listen, sometimes I say if I were God, I'd be in a whole lot of trouble. Let's just know that that's just wrong, right? I'm going to speak on the point, God is fair. It says in verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning at 6 a.m. to hire workers for his vineyard. Why? Because he knew he had to pull that crop quickly. It's 6 a.m. The vineyard owner went out and hired several workers for the harvest. He agreed. Say agreed. They agreed that we will get 1 denarius if we work this day. $240 is going to be ours at the end of this 12-hour day. I ask you, how do you think the workers felt? Pretty good. I'm going to get some food for mama and the babies, and it's going to be a good day. Why? Because we have agreed. We're blessed to be working. We're blessed to have food. And then other things start to happen. Anna, what happened? We not only have these 6 a.m. workers that are very happy. What happens following that?
We have other workers as well. So God is good. God is fair. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's good too. God is fair, but God is always right. So let's look at verse 20. We've read the whole story, but I want to focus on actually verse 4. So about the third hour, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard. Whatever is right, I will give you. And then moving down to verse 7, they said to him, because no one has hired us, we're not working. And he said to them, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. God is always right. So here again, we're listening to a parable that Jesus is telling them so they understand how the kingdom functions. It doesn't function. It doesn't work like we see. It's heavenly. It's supernatural. It's heavenly. It's not an earthly kingdom. And so in this kingdom, God is right. So the definition of the word right from the Greek, that's the original language this text was written in. This is the Greek. So I said, let's find out. You know, we kind of think of, you know, Webster, what's right. No. Let's hear what the Greek definition of right is. The pronunciation is dikaios in Greek. Dikaios is correct, righteous, and it implies innocence. So the landowner was correct in what he paid the first or 11-hour worker, and he was right or innocent or righteous in what he paid the one-hour worker, the same wage. Short definition of this word right in Greek is just, righteous, and it is impartial. So the landowner representing God in the story was impartial. Despite the fact that one worked 11 hours and one worked 1 hour. Definition more. Just is what right means. Especially just in the eyes of God. Righteous. Derived from the word. So this word right, which is dikaios, is derived from the Greek word dike, meaning right or judicial approval. In other words, approved by God. Right. Righteous. It relates to the conformity to God's standard. God's standard, not ours. It's just. God is always right. That is the principle that we're drawing from this story that Jesus tells his disciples. So who is God?
If he's so right?
He's our creator, our redeemer, our healer, our soon coming king. He is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He knows it all. We only get this much. So he's right if he knows it all. He's everywhere at all times. We're only here at this time. He's right. He's always right. And whatever is right, you will receive, the text says. So let God be God. Verse 8, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that, or I'm going to throw in my 2 cents, they assumed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. Let God be God. That is a struggle for me. I don't know about you. But I don't know. I have this justice in me, and I've always had it ever since I was little. And it's like I could just see injustices, or that's not fair, that's not right. But this text is showing us a biblical principle. The landowner had the right to do what he wanted with his own land. And we belong to God. And this world belongs to God. And he is our creator. So one of the things, I'm going to give you about four or five things that have helped me to let God be God in my life. And maybe this can help you. First of all, recognize God's standards are different than ours. We see things differently. We're sinful. He's perfect. He is perfect in all of his ways. We just sang that, and he is. Recognize God's standards are not ours. So look at verse 8. The last will be first. That's a different standard. Who does that? Who pays the last person first? Another standard, verse 10, not equal pay for equal work. The brother only worked an hour. That's not fair. The other guys worked 11 hours. Our standards are not God's standards. And I often think, now, this is a story. It's not doctrine, not church doctrine, but we're pulling biblical principles from the story. So I often think, just in the story form, you know, why did he allow the last guy to only work an hour? Well, I was wondering, you never know. First of all, the guy said, nobody would hire us. Maybe he was too old. Maybe he was disabled. Maybe he had worked all of his life. And God, or the landowner, said, you're only going to work an hour, and I'm going to pay you the same thing. You've been faithful all these years. That's his prerogative. I always pronounce it wrong. Prerogative. What is it, guys? Prerogative, I think it is. Prerogative. Okay, thanks, teacher. That's God's prerogative. So I have to recognize that God's standards are not mine. And then look at verse 12. I also need to resist comparing myself to others or others to myself. Just resist comparing completely. Verse 11 or 12 says, and when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us. Equal. Comparing. You made them equal to us. They're not equal to us. We worked longer. We worked harder. Don't compare yourself. And when you compare, it's never fair. God sees the whole picture. Next, I have found that when I run to God with my injustices, that he justifies me. So look at verse 13. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. I'm not being unjust or unjust. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go on your way. Run to God with your injustices. And I love this about the 11th hour worker. So we've been dogging him all morning in our sermon. But I'm going to give him this. He didn't go to the 1 hour worker and say, you don't deserve that. He didn't go to the 1 hour worker and say, why did you get that? He didn't go to other workers and say, that's not fair. Griping and grumbling. He went to the landowner, God, in this story, representing God in this story. He went to the landowner and said, you're not fair. I love that about him. Go to God with your injustices. If it's not fair, go to God. It's biblical to do that. And I'm going to show you right now how biblical it is. If you will turn to Luke chapter 18, a woman, a persistent widow who goes to God with her injustices. Well, actually, let's hear the story. It'll interpret itself. The parable of the persistent widow, Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them to always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. That's us. Go to God with your injustices. Grant me justice. That's not fair, Lord. That's not fair in my job. That's not fair in my family. That's not fair in my friends. That's not fair in my church. That's not fair in my neighborhood. Go to God with your injustices. Verse 4. For some time, the unjust judge refused. But finally he said, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, now Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I will tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Do you have the faith to keep running to God with your injustices? He's the one you go to. Run. And he will justify your cause because he is a just God. He's fair and he's right. Letting God be God, we recognize he's got his own standards. We resist comparing ourselves. We run to God with our injustices and we relinquish our rights because God is sovereign. Look at the end of verse 14. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I'm good? So the last will be first and the first will be last. For many are called and few are chosen. Relinquish your rights. God is sovereign. That means he does what he wants, when he wants, however he wants, with whomever he wants, wherever he wants. God is sovereign. Relinquish your rights. Let go. And pour it out at the feet of Jesus. Let it go. Let God be God.
Say it with me one time. God is fair. God is always right. Let God be God. We belong to him, and he can do as he wishes. Jeremy, are you here? My son, is he here? I think Jeremy J is here. That's right. Don't go get him. Don't go get him. It's all right. He's counting money or whatever. Bethany, would you stand? All right, well, tell him to get in here. I don't know why. I have no idea. why Jay can go to high school. He gets straight A's. He never brought his books home. He ran 2,500 miles. I guess that's yards and touchdowns and so forth. Never studied at all. Yet there are other kids in his same graduating class. If you threw a football at him, it hit him in the face. Nobody can explain that. I don't know why Bethany, at 3 years old, in her bedroom. What was the song, Mommy? How did it go? Open the door, Mommy, open the door. She was waking up, and she was ready to have breakfast, right? 3 years old. She's singing when she's a child with a beautiful voice. And I don't know, you've heard other people sing. They don't sing like Bethany. It's not Bethany with the gift. God gave her that gift. And someone could say, why'd you give her the gift and not me the gift? It's God. He can do whatever he wants. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I do not, you may be seated, sweetheart. You may be seated, young man. I don't know why God made me so good looking. Don't you ever wonder that? Why did he make Chappie so good looking? Julie's saying, give him eyes, Lord. Give him eyes to see. I see you, Julie. I see that look. But listen, where you are is where God would have you. I went to Costco and a gentleman asked me, sir, could you help me put my bottles of water in my trunk? I said, I would be glad to. He said, I'm 72 years old, and my hands aren't working. I've got a muscular disease. And I said, I would be glad to help you. He said, son, I live on the golf course at the Broadmoor. And I said, you live on a house that's on the golf course of the Broadmoor. The golf course that costs $350 just to play 18 holes. You live on that? He said, yeah, I live on the ghetto end. I live by the 18th hole. The ghetto of the Broadmoor. Let me show you my house, sir. Hey, listen. Does it really matter? If that wall were Los Angeles and that wall were New York City, and by the way, eternity is much longer than that, and I took an ink pen and put a dot on a string stranded between the two. Do you see how significant or how insignificant that dot is? My life on this earth is so short. If you compare the car I drive, it ain't going to be mine long. Because about 10, 15 years from now, I'm getting up out of here and y'all can have my car. Because I'm going to be in heaven. And y'all want me to tell you about heaven? Because I don't care. Because heaven's going to be so awesome. Amen. I don't care how many clothes, if your clothes come from Target or if it comes from Men's Warehouse, it doesn't matter. You're going to leave them here when you go. Whatever you have, keep it clean. Whatever house you have, whatever dishes you have or don't have, enjoy your life. Enjoy your situation because it won't be long and it's going to be better. Amen? Life is not fair from what it looks like from here. But from God's point of view, it really is fair when it gets to eternity. If you knew the rest of your story, you'd say, thank you, Lord, for this disease. Thank you for this spouse. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my height. Thank you for my looks. You'd spend so much time thanking God for what you have that you have no time to compare. Would you go to the next slide, please? In Deuteronomy 32, it says that his works are perfect and his ways are what? Don't you ever doubt it. Don't you let the devil lie to you and says, God is cheating you. If there was a God, it'd be different. There is a God, and it will be different. It may not be different this second, but it will be different. Somebody say amen. Next slide, please. In Romans, it says, wait a minute, but who are you? Ouch. Would you read this with me together? Everybody read it. Ready? Begin. But who are you? Wait a minute, somebody's not reading. I can tell that somebody's not reading. Ready, begin. But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, what did you make me like this? Why did you make me like this? Lord, how come I'm don't have? It's hey, he who formed you is taking care of you. It's all right. The next scripture, and I'm going to challenge you. It says, be content. Say be content. Be content with where you are right now. I don't pray for hair. Why? Because there's a process going on in my body. I will never grow hair again unless I go to hair club for men. And then they're pulling hair from my armpit to put it on top of my head. Listen, I'm just going to be bald gracefully and thank God for my shiny bald head. Because what this is showing you is that I'm going to leave here soon. I'm going to get balder. I'm going to get fatter. I'm going to get older. But one day I'm going to be shouting and dancing hallelujah in heaven. Amen? There's a process happening. I'm not trying to get skinnier and younger and more hair and make you pretend like when I'm 90 years old and all my skin is pulled back to my ear that I'm younger. No, I'm old, but I'm going to see Jesus soon. Somebody say amen. It's a process going on, and I'm content because life may not seem fair, but go to the next slide. It may not seem fair, but it really is. I am not going to read to you Psalm 73, but if you have devotions this week, I double dare you to read this psalm. Let me give you a summary of what it says. A summary of what it says is surely God is supposed to be good to Israel, but in verse 2 he says, my feet have almost slipped. Why? Because in verse 3, I'm envious. I am envious of the arrogant. They prosper. Next slide. They have no struggles. For people who don't love God, life just seems to go well. They live in vain. They're never afflicted. Every morning, nothing happens to them. But as for me, next slide. But as for me, I entered the sanctuary, and all of a sudden, I took a wake-up pill and realized, next verse, that truly God is fair. Life is not fair, but God is. Say that with me. Life is not fair, but God is. Worship team, would you come forward, please? Life is not fair, but God is. I don't know what you're going through today, but I can tell you one thing. There are many people who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they won't give their hearts to God because they cannot answer the question, why would a good God allow, and then they fill in the blank. And they see our God as a mean God. They see life as all that is, and it's not true. And many times we get sucked into that. As the worship team plays, I'm going to ask you to search your heart. Ask yourself, are there areas in your life that you're saying, God, I'm very angry. I'm frustrated about this. That's a stopping point where God can't be God in your life. I want to remove that barrier. Maybe you don't like your job. Well, like it until God changes it. Amen? Maybe you don't like whatever it is. Maybe you think something is unfair. Today, I want to challenge you to let that thing go. As they play, and they're going to sing in a minute, what I want you to do in your seat or at this altar, no one's going to be up front praying for you because this is between you and God. But I want you to let some stuff go. I want you to change your words to, it's not fair, to, life really isn't fair, but God truly is. Let's sing this song and just come and you pray and give to God whatever you need to give to him. Some of you may want to just in your seat say, God, since I was X many years old, I've been really angry with you. Joyce Meyer even herself said, in my life I was paralyzed because my father sexually abused me. But in the midst of that, God did some awesome things. God didn't make that happen, but because it happened, God did some great things. Amen? So let's let God be God in our lives. Worship team, would you lead us? And I'm going to stay up here. Just come and just pray as God would lead you.
I have a man.
your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you've been trying to make it in life all by yourself. And you realize that there may be a God, but I'm not really sure. And today, on this July the 8th day, you realize that you're really not making it on your own. Life is not getting easier for you, and you realize that you do have a maker. And this would be a great day for you to say, Jesus, I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, I'd just like to pray for you this morning. Lift up your hand so I can pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this day you want to be a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone? Maybe you're here today and you would say, Lord, I've accepted you already, but if I'm really honest, I'm not walking with you today like I should. It may be because of lots of different temptations and issues in my life that's nobody's business. But on this July the 8th day, I recommit. I rededicate my heart to you, God. I want to come back home like that prodigal son. Lift up your hand if you would say, God, I've been away, but it's time to come home. I want to recommit my heart to you today. Is there anyone that would say that today? Just lift your hand and wave it at me. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone that would say that? Thank you, Lord. I will pray. Lord, I pray right now for my friend who's lifting the hand, and they're saying, Lord, I've been away for a little while, but today I'm coming home, this July the 8th day. Lord, I thank you that you're waiting with open and loving arms. You never left me, but I left you. And so, God, today I recommit. I rededicate my life to you. Forgive me of all my sins, O Lord God. Devil, we bind you, and whatever pulled that person away, Lord, draw them right back. By the power of your Holy Spirit, thank you that they're back. And they're committing to you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for that commitment today. Thank you for that commitment today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, hey, life not being fair has been a struggle for me. Lift up your hand if you would say, today I'm no longer going to let that be a struggle because I'm going to trust God. Lift up your hand if you say, I'm going to trust God from now on. You don't have to look around. Lift both hands before the Lord, and I'm going to do the same. Lord, we lift up our hands since we surrender our life to you. Lord, there are questions we may have when we get to heaven, but the one question we will not have is, are you fair? Are you just? Are you righteous? We won't have that question. Lord, help us not to be like the world and doubt you. Lord, I don't know why all the things are the way they are, but the one thing I know is that you are God and that you are a maker and that you're going to take care of me. You're going to meet every one of our needs. Forgive us, Lord, for doubting. Forgive us, Lord, for comparing. Forgive us, Lord, for complaining. Forgive us, Lord, for doubting. Forgive us, O Lord, for not seeing you as you are. You said the kingdom of heaven is like this. And Lord God, earth is like this too. We know it's just a temporary place. Help us to never lose sight of who you are. Whether we live on the Broadmoor or whether we live in a tent, you are God and you are gonna see us through. We love you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Would you stand and let's just sing this song one time and then you'll be dismissed.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.